Now, I have been endeavouring to deal with some of the problems that have arisen over Genesis as a result of the false assumptions of men, both scientists and non-scientists. But the whole purpose has been not in order to score a point, and not in order to answer a so-called intellectual problem, but to remove away some of the clutter that prevents us from worshipping God through the study of Genesis chapter 1. As I mentioned before, I think that Christians have been rather fearful to be known as men and women that believe this first chapter of Genesis. And it's for that reason alone that I've been seeking to deal with some of the hypotheses that have been prevalent in recent years. Now then, tonight I would just simply like to go through the whole of the first chapter from the beginning and just expound it as the Word of God. Now you notice in the first verse it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens." And presumably, though it doesn't say so, but presumably that is the period when the angels were created, including Lucifer, who was one of the prince of the angels and who later disobeyed God and was cast out from heaven into hell. Now, nothing more is said about that, but there are indications, as I've pointed out before, in the book of Ezekiel, to Lucifer as having been disobedient and having been cast out. Well, now then, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and empty. Now, do you remember I mentioned last time that this does not mean that the earth was in a state of chaos. It does not mean that the earth was the subject of some condemnation by God. That the earth at that time was perfect, but it was not complete. It was not at that moment fulfilling the purpose which God had in mind. The earth was formless. And we looked at Isaiah 45, you remember, where it said that God did not create the earth to be formless. He has created it to be filled with living creatures and with mankind. But on the first day of creation, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, or as it says in the original, over the faces of the waters. And the suggestion is that the waters were turbulent, the faces of the waters. So you've got the situation on the first day then of the heavens, the spiritual heavens having been created, the angelic beings having been created, these millions and millions of angels have been created, and the earth had been formed, and yet it was dark, it was empty, it was formless, but the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now, the word used for God in the first verse is the word Elohim, and it is a plural word. And in the fact that a plural word is used, you have the concept of the Trinity already suggested. Now, it is not spelt out in this first chapter. It would be wrong to say that the full-blooded doctrine of the Trinity is found in this first chapter. But what is true is this, that as the doctrine of the Trinity is revealed as the centuries go by, and particularly in the New Testament days, and as you look back upon this first chapter of Genesis from New Testament perspective, there is nothing in this first chapter that is wrong. When in the New Testament you are told that Jesus was equal to God and the Holy Spirit was equal to God the Father, then those two persons are included in this word Elohim in this point. So therefore the New Testament never corrects the Old Testament. The Old Testament is correct. The New Testament throws light upon it. And so in the beginning, God, this word for God, that later on when you learn about the Trinity, you can see that this word God is a good word. It does speak of a multiplicity of persons within the one Godhead. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Similarly, the Spirit of God. There's nothing in this chapter to say that this was the Holy Spirit and that he was equal to the Father. But in the New Testament, you are told that he's equal to the Father. And so you know that the reference here is to the Holy Spirit. So again, the New Testament doesn't contradict this. It simply throws light upon this section. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the Spirit of God, therefore, is